Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Tonight, let's look into the word very briefly before we begin to dance and praise the name of Jesus and also present gifts to the Almighty. Hallelujah. Now, there are four major reasons why it's important for us as a people to always give thanks. Four broad reasons. Number one, we give thanks to God because of who He is. Our God is a great God. And is worthy of praise, is worthy of thanksgiving. Psalm 145 verse 3. The Bible said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He said His greatness is unsearchable. So we honor, we praise, and we give thanks to God for who He is. Whether you like it or not, He is deserving of all praise. Jesus was speaking on His way to Jerusalem while they were praising Him, and some were offended, and He looked at the Pharisees and said, if these ones stop praising Me, the stones will rise up. The majesty is too enormous for His presence not to be honored and glorified. So we praise God for who He is. Number two, we praise Him for the things He does. He does great, mighty, unimaginable things in the excellency of His power and within the infinite nature of His mercy. Our God does great things. And so when we look at the excellency of the things He does, we have no choice but to praise Him. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 16 verse 8, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds amongst the nations. He has done too much. Our very existence we owe to Him. It's part of the great things He has done. And then the numerous other miracles, signs, wonders, acts of power and acts of mercy that God continues to wrought commands praise unto His name. In fact, Psalm 103 verse 3, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. The 24 elders were praising Him in Revelation chapter 4 verse 11. And the Bible said they declared that He was worthy of all praise because all things were created for His pleasure. So He created and He continues to wrought wonders. Wonders beyond the reach of man's imagination. And so we have no choice but to praise Him for the many things He does. And I'm going to zero into this in a moment. Praise God. Number three, we praise Him because it reveals who we are. If we refuse to praise Him, it shows that we are unreasonable and it shows that we are ungrateful. God could not have done this much for you, and all you are known for is complaints and lamentations. You meet many people, they tell you nothing is working. They don't see a reason why they should thank God. Meanwhile, the very brain that is processing that communication is working. The tongue used is working. Their feet brought them to where they were complaining. Nonetheless, they can't see anything working. And they tell you outrightly, nothing is working. Lack of praise is one of the highest demonstrations of ingratitude. And a man who is not grateful is a man who is almost denatured. So praise and thanksgiving to God to a very large extent reveals the quality of who we are. That's why Revelation 4:11, the Bible showed us 24 elders, they fell on their faces, they cast their crown, and they sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And they praised Him because all things were created for His pleasure. It reveals who you are. It reveals the nature of your soul structure. You cannot not praise God with all that he has done for you. The Bible said in Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that has breath praise God. That you exist alone already makes praise a command for you. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Unfortunately, only 10% remember to praise God. How do I know this? Luke 17:14-17. 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one came back. So every time you find people thanking God and thanking Him genuinely, no matter how much or many they are, that's 10%. 90% will always forget because they are users of God and users of men. So when you find people who praise God, it's a revelation of the quality of their soul structure. 10 lepers cleansed, one came back. Jesus said, we are the 9. That means God expects you to praise Him. We are the 9. Tonight, I'm grateful because you are that one that came back. Glory to God. And of course, finally, why do we praise God? Why do we thank Him? We praise Him because of what praise itself commands. When you give thanks, there is a power in thanking God. So when you are thanking God, even in that thanksgiving, things happen. Glory to God. So you thank God for who He is. You thank God for what He has already done. You thank God because of who you are, a grateful person, a reasonable person, an honorable person. Then you thank God for what thanksgiving itself commands. When you read your Bible, it's replete. Number one, I've taught you here and I keep repeating it so that it sticks to your consciousness. Jeremiah 30 verse 19. The Bible said, out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. He said, I will multiply them. They shall not be few. I will glorify them. They shall not be small. So when you give thanks, it imparts greatness unto you. Those who thank God grow bigger and bigger, greater and greater, more glorious as the day goes by. Number two, I said thanksgiving provokes multiplication. Jesus stood at the mountain after teaching for 3 days and 3 nights. They were hungry. John chapter 6. You read from verse 6 to verse 11. And He said, give them something to eat. And they said, there's nothing you can give them here. Even a year's wages can't suffice. And Jesus tells them, you give them something to eat. And they say, well, there is a young lad here that has only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is it among this great number? And Jesus said, bring it. When they brought it to Jesus, He lifted it up and gave thanks and gave them to distribute it. Suddenly, bread and fish multiplied. So much so that they fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And what was left was 12 baskets. So I told you, thanksgiving provokes multiplication. It does not just make you great, it provokes multiplication. Those who give thanks, they keep multiplying. In Acts chapter 2 verse 46 and 47, the Bible said, they continued daily from house to house, breaking bread in one accord. And He said, praising God. And He said, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Find those who thank God. You have met a man who will continue to multiply because it triggers multiplication. Number three, what does thanksgiving produce? It produces deliverance. It engenders intervention. Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. No governmental connection. No human being to reach out to. But the Bible said at midnight, they rose, they prayed, they thanked God. They prayed and praised God. And suddenly, a sound hit the building. The foundation shook and the doors opened. Those who thank God cannot be kept in captivity. Thanksgiving is a power. It engenders deliverance. Glory to God. Number four, what does thanksgiving engender? It creates atmosphere for the miraculous. Those who thank God, miracles follow them everywhere they go. In John 11:40-41, Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb. A dead man, 4 days, brain decomposed, no hope. Even the sisters concurrently affirmed that it was hopeless. If you were here, our brother would not have died. But Jesus knew a weapon to use. When He stood at the grave, the Bible said, He lifted up His voice and said, Father, I thank You, for You always hear me. The moment he said it, he shouted. He knew the power of thanksgiving does not fail. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, he that was dead came back to life. Those who thank God, they live in miracles. I told you already, concerning my health, concerning my finances, one of the secrets God gave me was thanksgiving. Many years ago, once in a while, you get an alert from somebody who is blessed by your message. And then the Holy Ghost told me, begin to thank God for these things. So when I get an alert, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After a while, thank you, Jesus became daily. After a while, every day, thank you, Jesus became many. Because it began to multiply. You can't thank God and not live in the miraculous. So those who are full of lamentation, they struggle. The Bible calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Jesus, God was dealing with them in the wilderness. And the Bible said, when they came out of the wilderness, imagine the wonders they saw. 10 plagues shut down the strongest civilization in the world for their sakes. Egypt was shut down. Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea. In fact, the sea parted. They walked on dry ground. When they needed water, the rock brought water for them. When they needed food, manna fell from heaven. When they needed meat, quails came from nowhere. And they had more than enough to eat. Yet they were lamenting. When God showed them the promised land, they said, there are giants there. We are like grasshoppers. And God said, Kai, you are full of unbelief. Because of your murmuring, all of you will perish in this land. That's why a whole generation was wiped out in the wilderness. Because they didn't have faith and they were not people who thanked God. In fact, the Bible said they limited the Holy One of Israel. So as powerful as God is, when you are faithless and ungrateful, you can limit God. I tell you, it's one thing that God is sovereign. It's another thing for God to be powerful in your life. The sovereign God may be powerless in your life. God is able to do all things, but in your life he may not be able to. For him to be able to, there are ordinances that must be kept. For instance, you saw in Ephesians 3:20, he said God is able to do exceeding abundantly. How? According to the power at work in you. How does that power work? Based on what you think and based on what you say. So if you think wrong and talk wrong, the all-powerful God will be powerless in your life. The Bible said they limited the Holy One. I think that's Psalm 78 verse 41. Check it for me. They limited the Holy One of Israel. So those who thank God, they live in the miraculous. Those who don't thank God, they are reduced to their frustration. That's why we make it a culture in this house. Glory to God. Finally, because of time, I said when you thank him, you are made whole. Luke 17:14-17. 10 lepers were healed. Only one was made whole. You know the difference? Those who were healed, the leprosy stopped. It left them. But the hands that were eaten up remained the same way. The feet remained the same way. The stigma remained on them. But the guy that was made whole, the toes that were eaten up were not just healed, they grew back. The fingers grew back. And the stigma is completely removed. It was like he never had leprosy. So when he stands with the other nine, you will see the nine as those healed, but this guy, you will not see him as though he has ever had leprosy. Because all the effect is removed, and everything he has lost on account of the leprosy is restored back to him. That's what thanksgiving does for you. It makes you whole. So if you are not thanking God, you are doing yourself a great disfavor. So why do we thank God? We thank God for who he is. We thank God for what he has done. We thank God for who we are. We are reasonable people. We are grateful people. And then we thank God because of what thanksgiving itself engenders. Tonight, I want to zoom in quickly on one critical aspect of what God has done for us so that we will thank him extensively for it. Remember, we are dealing with the subject of living from the plane of reality. Because there are many people who are living in a lie. There are many people who are not living in the reality that God has ordained for them. They are living in the reality occasioned by the conjugated, manipulated circumstances of the environment or the nation where they are. Or some are living in the realities created by demons. Others are living in a reality created by their own selves. Born out of their errors, born out of their foolishness. That's where they are living. But there is a reality that God has designed for you to live in. And if you don't live in that reality, like I told you, you will not maximize your existence. You will just walk through time, return, having not made any impact worthy of recognition from the realms of eternity. So you have to live from the reality that God has ordained for you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So God has a plan for you. God has a thought for you. God has a prepared dimension and reality of operation for you. Your duty is to recognize it and to come into it. Because there are many forces in time that we want to stop you from entering those realities. And those realities are the things we have been dealing with. Glory to God. My emphasis in this teaching series is not just to paint those realities, but to show you how to climb into them. And last week Sunday, I took out time, first of all, to define what reality is, and also to show you the two major realms of reality that exist. And then I also went further to show you one of the pillars or the ordinances that make for you to step into the reality of God. Praise God. Now, I said a reality actually speaks of the truth of God's word. The actual or the actuality of God's creation or of God's thought towards you. There are many things that may be happening in your life that may be fact, but they may not be reality. Glory to God. There are many things that may be happening in your life that may be fact, but may not be reality. So you must understand the difference between a fact, a reality, and a realm. What is a fact? A fact is a manifestation that holds sway in one dimension, but not necessarily in another dimension. Let me explain it this way. How many of you have driven on a sunny day before? There's something in physics we call a mirage. When you are driving on a black road, you are looking ahead of you. It looks like there is water. When you now get to that location where you thought there was water, you will now see dry kota. You know what that is? From a distance, it looks as if there's actually water. Your eyes have convinced you that there is water. In fact, every sign you will see, if there was actually water there, you will see them. Those are established facts from where you are in a distance. But the moment you change location, that fact disappears. So the reality is that there's no water there, but from the distance, it appears as if there is water. So something may be true on earth. It may not be true in the spirit. On earth is a fact. In the spirit is not a fact. For instance, on earth, you may have malaria. You may have cancer. But when you enter God's realm, by his stripes you were healed. As far as God is concerned, there's no cancer on you. So what do? You remove what is in God's realm and supersede or superimpose it on what your realm is saying. Your realm is saying cancer. The realm of God is saying no cancer. So you take what is in God's realm to dominate what is in your realm. And because what is in God's realm is superior to what is in your realm will disappear. So a fact is something that holds sway in one context but loses authority in another context. A fact is something that is true, but may not be truth. Truth is the word of God. True is your experience. Your experience is true, but the word of God may say otherwise. That's why somebody may look at you and say you are a failure. Like they saw Gideon. He was to be defined a coward. He was literally hiding and almost non-existent. But when the angel showed up, he said, "That mighty man of valor." Even Gideon did not believe what the angel was saying. Mighty man of valor, oppressed and so intimidated, I'm having to hide to survive. I'm a mighty man of valor. How come? And the angel said, "No, you are a mighty man. I'm seeing you not from your immediate experience. I'm seeing you from a higher dimension. I'm seeing you from a higher realm. In the realm of reality, you are a mighty man of valor. Within the context of your circumstance, you may appear like a coward, but you are a warrior." Guess what happened? The angel escorted Gideon from truth to truth. He escorted Gideon from fact to reality. A point came. Gideon took over the Midianite army that he was hiding from with 300 soldiers. He was thinking if it were going to happen, even if God was with them, at least 32,000 soldiers. The man said, "No, you are bigger than your enemies." Do you know a point came when Gideon began to enter into reality that his fame was rumored in the camp of the enemy? The angel of the Lord had to take him. He said, "Come, since you don't know yourself, come and hear what your enemies are saying about you." And when he came to hear what they were saying about him in the camp of the enemies were trembling that there is a man called Gideon. That same man was hiding because fact, truth, made it look like he was defeated. But reality said, "No, you are a mighty man of valor." I don't know who I'm talking to this evening. It looks as if you are a failure. Fact is saying you are a failure. There are indices, there are integers, there are information that prove you are a failure. But from the realm of truth, God is looking at you as the answer to your generation. From the realm of truth, God is looking at you as a warrior. From the realm of truth, God is looking at you as the voice of your generation. And in the name of Jesus, the anointing is taking you there. So facts are things with verifiable evidences within a context. But when you change the context, the evidences alter. They can no longer hold sway. But you see, when you come into reality, reality is consistent regardless of context. The difference between fact and reality is that reality is consistent in every context. Everything God said in heaven, on earth, and in hell is the same. Nothing can change it. It's the way it is. If God says you are blessed, even if you go to hell, you'll be blessed in hell. That's what he said to Joseph. Joseph was in prison, he was blessed. He was in Potiphar's house, he was blessed. He was in the palace, he was blessed. It wasn't the location that defined him. It was the word that defined him. So whether you call him a prisoner or a prime minister, it made no difference. The guy was blessed. Check what happened to him. In Potiphar's house, they made him ruler. In prison, they made him ruler. In the palace, they made him ruler. Because truth is constant. It does not change. This is why we don't live from the realm of fact. We live from the realm of reality. We live from the realm of truth. We live from the realm of God's standpoint. What God says is what happens. That's why I say, let God be true and let all men be liars. Today, somebody is entering into his reality. So glorious in your way. You are glorious. So glorious in your way. You are glorious. You are glorious. Yes, you are. when you read your Bible, one of the major journeys you will find are men traveling from fact to reality. The fact was that Abraham was impotent, Sarah was barren. The reality is that I have made thee the father of many nations. He journeyed from being impotent with a barren wife to becoming the father of many nations. You read your Bible, the fact was that Rahab was a prostitute, but the reality was that she was one of the progenitors of the Messiah. And so a point came, it was routed prophetically through her. The fact was that Gideon was afraid, he was a coward, but the reality was that thou mighty man of valor, your enemy has been given to your hand. This is what you find in the scripture. Man migrating from fact into reality. Because when the context changes, the game is altered. And that's what's happening in somebody's life tonight. The fact is that you came here sick. The fact is that you came here poor. The fact is that you came here confused. The fact is that you came here afraid. But the reality is that you are chosen of God. You are the head and not the tail. You are the answer to your generation. Because dry bones will rise again tonight. To reality tonight. The fact is that Paul was a persecutor, a blasphemer, an injurious man. But the reality is that he's an apostle. You know, when you read the Bible, you would think Paul was a persecutor. Then God called him. It was later Paul discovered that no, I am an apostle. I fell into a persecutor. I came back to being an apostle. Because he said, God, who revealed his son in me, he revealed his son in me, even while he was yet unborn. That's why Paul said, we were called before the foundations of the world. He didn't know. Some of you are judging your life by set of circumstances. Oh, I lost three fiancés now. How am I going to settle down? Welcome to reality. You are the mother of nations. Nations, we have gone past settling down. We are talking father of nations, mother of nations. There is fact and there's reality. Sit down. Let's take it step by step so that everybody will get me. So fact speak of things that cannot maintain consistency in different contexts. So when you review them in a context, you can find unquestionable evidences that proves their existence. But when you change the context, all the evidences lose their authority. But when you are dealing with reality, you are dealing with things that holds sway regardless of context. The evidences are sacrosanct, consistent in any context you take them to. That's why Jesus is Lord in heaven, on earth, and in hell. It doesn't change, it's the same. Glory to God. So you have to learn to live from reality, because there are two major realms where people live from. Because a realm now speaks of the context where either fact or reality finds expression. So a realm is a dimension. A realm is a context where you can measure either fact or reality. Reality is a thing that is consistent in every context or in every realm. A fact is a thing that loses its authority when the context is altered. So you must journey from fact into reality. Glory to God. I showed you last week that the two major realms of existence is the realm of the senses and then the realm of realities. I told you that the realm of the senses has four other sub-realms. And I listed them for you. Number one, I said, is the carnal realm or the realm of carnality, where people are dominated by their fallen nature. So when you enter the realm of the senses, you find the first realm in that realm is the carnal realm. People who operate from the authority or the dictate of the fallen nature. Number two, in the realm of the senses, I said there are people who operate purely from the plane of logic. So they keep permuting. Their life is based on permutation. If 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 must be 4, 3 plus 3 must be 6. But you see, you are a being of a superior order. That's why a logical person can look at you and say, if in 30 years he only bought one car, by 60, at most, maybe 2. He's doing permutation. He's doing permutation. If in 10 years in ministry, he only had 50 members, in the next 10 years, maybe there will be 100 or 120. Then in 1 month, the guy surges. He's taking over the nations. And then their brain, the thing breaks down. They can't understand how. They are logical people. And unfortunately, most of us are there. How can I be in Nigeria with what the government is doing, and my life can amount to anything? All I have is a degree. I don't know anybody in politics. How can I succeed in this business? The Bible said, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so also knoweth not thou the ways of the spirit. I know logic, but I know there are superior realms to logic. So there are those who are carnal, controlled by the fallen nature, and there are those who are logical. Then in the realm of the senses, there are those who live by sight. Seeing is believing. If I don't see it, I'm not involved. So they live by sight, not by faith. Anything you see them believing, they've seen it. Those are the Thomas generation. Unless I see your hand, where the nails have pierced you, I'm not believing. So you tell them what God is saying, they say, well done. For me, I must see before I believe. They live by sight. That's the realm of existence. It's the realm of the senses. But there are those who live in the realm of reality. Those who live in the realm of reality, they live by faith. That means what they believe is superior to what they see and what they calculate. They are ruled by their conviction. And not just conviction, but conviction in God. That's why the Bible said they justified. Not everybody. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Galatians 3 verse 11, Romans 1 17, Hebrews 10 38, 2 Corinthians 5 7, the just shall live by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So there is a realm beyond what you see, what you calculate. There is a realm like that. It's called the realm of reality. And the first aspect of that realm is faith. Then there is the realm of the spirit. It speaks of those who are controlled by the Holy Ghost. So they don't do what they feel like. They do what they are led to do. The Holy Spirit is the governor over their lives. The Bible said in Romans 8:14, not everybody, as many as are led by the Spirit, he said they are the sons of God. So there is a realm you enter in your life that before you do anything, whether physical, career-wise, ministry-wise, the Holy Spirit must have a say. The apostles made a statement in Acts 15 when they had an argument in the church in Antioch and they came to them in Jerusalem to resolve the matter. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us not to put more burden on your life. So these guys were living by the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Not every Christian is here. There are many Christians who are still in the realm of the senses. They function by sight. They function by logic. They function by the fallen nature. Many Christians are there. And they function by fear. Anything they are afraid of, fear literally controls them. But there are those who live in reality. They operate by faith. It may not make sense, but the Bible says it, they believe it, they operate it. There are many who don't just operate by faith, they operate by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So they are in the realm of the Spirit because they have the life of God and the Spirit of Christ regulates them. And then those who are also in the realm of reality, they operate by love. That's the nature of Christ. Why those in the realm of the senses operate by the fallen nature? Those in the realm of reality operate by the nature of Christ, which is love. Because 1 John 4:8 says God is love. So they are regulated by love. Most of their actions are motivated by love. So they give, it doesn't make sense. They forgive, it doesn't make sense. They are excessively kind, it doesn't make sense. It's the nature operating them. It's the nature of Christ. So when you meet a man who operates from reality, any action he takes is either motivated by faith, motivated by the leading of the Spirit, or motivated by love. When your life operates like this, it means you are in reality. Two of us can be in the same room, but we are in different realms. Two of us can be in the same room, we are in different realities. Two of us can be sitting next to ourselves, we are in different realities. Why one is operating by what he sees, another one is operating by faith. Why one is operating by logic, another one is operating by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why one is operating by fear and the dictates of the fallen nature, the other one is operating by the love of God. We are in different worlds. And so the outcomes of our lives will be different. This is where Christians are separated into cadres. All of us may call ourselves children of God, but we operate in different cadres. Our experiences will be different. So you must understand this, that these are the places men live from. Nobody is living in Nigeria. Nobody is living in Ghana. Nobody is living in America. You are either living in the realm of the senses or you are living in the realm of reality. Where you are in your physical geography does not have as much impact in your destiny as to where you are in the spiritual geography. So you can be in America and somebody in Nigeria is more impactful than you, depending on the reality that controls their existence. Are you following me? That's why somebody can be in Nigeria and relocate like Lot to America when God has not led him. He's looking for greener pasture. Meanwhile, there's no greener pasture in any physical geography. There are only greener pasture in the world. He said, the word is the door. When you enter through me, you will find pasture and rest for your soul. You know what Lot did? He was in the same place with Abraham, but in different reality. Lot said, our men are becoming big. They are fighting with themselves. We can't stay together. Abraham said, okay, choose one side. I will choose the other. Guess what Lot was doing? He was looking with the eyes of the flesh. When he saw the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, this land is green. It's good for cattle. I am going here. Abraham said goodbye. When it came to Abraham to choose side, you will think Abraham will look at the other side. If you choose north, I choose south. If you choose east, I choose west. Never. We are in different realities. When it was time for Abraham to choose, what did he do? The Bible said he looked up to heaven. The sight is either physical or spiritual. It's either senses or reality. And when Abraham looked into heaven, God now told him from reality, now look north, south, east, west. Everything there is in this realm you have entered. One of our sisters here, the Holy Ghost told her, she was living in the U.S. working. The Holy Ghost told her, leave everything you are doing and relocate back to Nigeria. And come sit here and learn. When she told me, even me, I said, are you sure? Oh, this is not zeal. I'm telling you, the same U.S. that people queue up every day in their hundreds looking for visa. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong going there if God is leading you. But if God is not leading you, my brother, take it easy. Take it easy. Engracia. Engracia. The last man who journeyed like that, his name is called Lot. He ran from the... But if you're already there, don't pack back. From there, look up. Before you say, hey, I wish I heard this message 10 years ago, and you start packing. Engracia. Why? Don't run back. Look up. Look up. Look up. Glory to God. But you must learn to live from reality. The realm of God. The realm that controls the physical realm. You must learn it as a believer. But you see, to live in reality is not wishful. There are ordinances, there are pillars. And I told you last week Sunday, the first pillar for living in reality is the revelation of the word of God. When God speaks and you follow what he says, you will literally transition into reality. Because I told you, God does not speak to inform. When God speaks, you will be informed, but God speaks to create. The very first time words were used, nobody was being talked to. No communication was taking place. So communication is not the highest purpose of talking. The first time words were used, realms were being created. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then Genesis 1, 2, the Bible said, and the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. Then verse 3 tells us, God said. When God said, you will think God wants to talk to an angel. You will think God wants to talk to somebody. Words are not primarily for communication. Because when you enter certain realms, you don't need to talk to communicate. Angels talk through thoughts. Thought is the frequency of communication. So I don't need words to communicate. Do you know why man is the only being that speaks cognitively in this realm? Because words are instruments of dominion. So after communication, the second reason for word is dominion. You exercise dominion through words. If you can't talk, you can't dominate. Oh my God, I'm going too far for you now. Let me slow down. You are the one who thinks words are for talking. And then you talk non-stop. You are looking for where to talk. You are not creating. You are not dominating. Yet you are talking. Go read Genesis chapter 1. You will find the purpose of words. Communication. Number one is creation. Genesis 1 verse 3. Number two is for dominion. Genesis 1 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Go read your Bible. Before God started using word for communication, he had done so many things already. Otherwise, how will God be talking when there is nothing created? But God was talking before creation began. Are you following? When God spoke cognitively, audibly, he was creating. So I told you, for you to enter reality, you must apprehend what God says. Because when God talks, God creates. When God talks, God brings power for dominion. So every time you read the word of God, every time you are in prayer and you are listening to God, what you are doing is you are receiving ladders to climb into reality. Because the words of God come to create your reality. God can look at you and say, it is well. He's not just pacifying you because you are going through crisis. He's giving you dominion. That means nothing can distort your life again. People can gang up against you. It is well. Sicknesses can come. It is well. Things can fail. It is well. He has literally empowered you for dominion. That's how deep the utterances of God are. So God can say something that appears simple. It will follow you for 50 years of your life. Because it will keep creating realities upon realities. So when we read our Bible, what are we doing? We are trying to enter reality. I don't read the Bible to quote. I read the Bible to find my reality. And the last time I checked, it said you are the head and not the tail. So when I go anywhere, I expect to be at the top. I don't expect, listen, there's a difference between humility and timidity. I don't go somewhere and expect to be at the bottom. No, I'm naturally at the top because I am the head. I am not the tail. Dominion is my portion. Rulership is my portion. That's why nothing can pull me down. I've seen people who tried with everything they had to pull me down. It was impossible. Ask my wife, she will tell you, I am hardly depressed. Go online, say anything you want to say. Gang God. Peddle campaigns of calumny. This sugar is going up. Up, up. That's my direction. Up. A prophet saw me in Lagos. He said, when I heard you for the first time, God told me, this young man is going up. I said, you are right. I'm going up. Somebody said, I beg, let them give him 3 years. He will soon disappear. I said, no. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You spoke late. The Almighty has already spoken. He said, who is it that teareth a thing and it cometh to pass when the Lord has not ordained it? Hey. See, sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, I hit some walls. I drop it. It's a frequency. I throw the Bible away and start jumping. I was reading the other day. I saw Isaiah 60 verse 15. It said, though you were a desolate land, no man went through you. I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. I shouted. When we started the ministry, they wanted to write my title. I said, put Oropo Michael, President, Encounter Jesus Ministry. Somebody look at me, all these proud young men. What do you mean by president? You relax. This is a nation. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy family. Get thee out of thy father's house. To the land I will show you. And I will make thee a great what? There are great families and there are great nations. This one is a great nation. Merakomatalataya. You don't read the word. He says, search ye out of the book and read. He said, none of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. His spirit has gathered it. It was gathered for me to enter. Walls are doorways. When you catch it, you enter inside. That's why some of us don't read. We catch. The word is katalambano. We take it. We make it personal. We make it personal. Personal. There are some I caught in encounters. There are others I caught in the book. I was sick, dying. Every day my chest paining me. It looked like I was going to die. But, you know, I was panting for air. I laid on my bed. A being walked in, sat behind me. Came with so much glory, I was afraid. I didn't look back. And he said, because I live, you will see tomorrow. I went and checked the Bible. He said, because I live, you will live also. I said, really? That was the day my audacity escalated. I fear no man. I fear no territory. I was going to preach in Botswana. One funny man that wanted to have issues with himself said, if I come, we will see. I told him, wait for me until I come. No prayer. Wait until I come. I come, we will see. Who are you? When I entered the city, the place shut down. I'm telling you, from multitude to dignitaries, the guy didn't show up. You know, you don't have walls. That's why everything throws you off balance. You are doing business. It looks like partners or customers are not coming. You say, what is happening? This business is failing. Nothing fails in your hand. He said, whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Hey. Whatsoever he doeth. I tell people, the reason why I seek God is not to succeed. Anything I do, I must succeed. The reason why I seek God is so that I don't succeed in the wrong thing. If I enter politics now, I will succeed. If I enter business, I will succeed. So I don't want to do the one God is not asking me to do. We have passed the level of praying. Lord, please let this thing succeed. Let it prosper. There's no need. The word has covered it. Whatsoever he doeth. One called me and said, he's a prophet. He said, Abed, this season, don't go to your village. I saw some things happening. Somebody went to the shrine. What? Shrine for me? He's not afraid. That week, I went to the village. Because why? Surely they shall gather. It's not by me. Every tongue that rises up against you, he this year we condemn. In judgment, thou shall condemn. And then he said, in verse 17, Isaiah 54, he said, when they gather, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. He said, every tongue that rises up against you. What are you talking here? What are you talking? No weapon. Go to Indian Ocean. Go to Sahara Desert. Kill a virgin. You bring it. It dies on arrival. You step upon serpents and scorpions. They shall by no means hurt you. Cooked with wars. Cooked. Somebody looked at me and said, you are in your season. Your ministry is doing well now. I said, what do you mean by in your season? I don't have a season. The part of the church is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. We are not diminishing any time. When we finish, we hand it over to another generation. What do you mean your season? Wars, wars. The Bible says, carry with you wars. Carry them. They looked at you, they said, this fuck here, who do you think you are? I don't think I'm anything. I just believe what God thinks I am. And the last time I checked, God said, I'm the light of the world. The last time I checked, God said, I'm a city set upon the hill that cannot be healed. The last time I checked, God said, I am a flame of fire, a witness of God. The last time I checked, God said, I am an ambassador of heaven. The last time I checked, God said, I'm a priest. The last time I checked, God said, I'm a king. I don't think I am anything. I just accept what God thinks I am. Have the last thing. He has some facts. You live from reality. Someone looked at you and said, oh my God, you have wisdom, but you are 70. Where will you start from? Abraham started at 75. They looked at you, they said, you have something, but you are too young. He said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, you have obtained strength. We are not talking age, we are talking reality. Don't let people see. Some of you don't have truth in your spirit. That's why everything breaks you. One came to me and said, imagine what these people are writing on the comments. I said, that's why they are in the comments. The person talking is not in the comments. You who is talking, why will you go and enter the comments? Leave the comment box for those following. The person talking is not in the comment. So if you don't even have sense, delete it and block it. Let those who have sense talk. Let's talk in the comment. You want me to leave the stage and enter the comment? I'm on a platform addressing my generation. You are telling me about who is in the comment. What do I have to do with him in the comment? I've left the comment box. To talk. When I talk, my generation hear me. Because hearing you is the rank. Hear ye him. I have validation from there. That's why I'm talking. If something is wrong, if somebody even says something wrong or does something wrong, I don't need to pull the person down. All I need to do is to come and explain the concept in the correct way so that those who care to hear will hear it. I don't need to bring the person into it. I will explain the truth because I have a voice that will be heard. I don't need to attach somebody's picture, pull the person down to correct that thing. I can correct that thing without that person. I will be heard. So those things don't affect me. Because they said you are the head and not the tail. You are the joy of many generations. And those who have the authority to talk to you, they will call you in love and tell you this. I think you should examine it and you will reason it together. If you are wrong, you regret. Don't allow yourself to die of heartbreak. Oh, this is not working. Oh, she left me. Oh, he left me. You didn't leave me. You lost me. Watch in a few years, you will know what I'm telling you. You lost me. You why we thank God. He has said too many things. They are mind blowing. They say you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people. I am special to God. Who is that human being that thinks is something that if he thinks I'm not special, I should disappear? When the Almighty thinks of me as special. Carry words. These are my realities. You will convince me for a lifetime to believe I can fail. Some will look at you and say, you will soon fall. Me, the Bible says, unto him that is able to keep us from falling. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit. There is an invisible hand sustaining me. You can't see it. I know it. Sit down for a second. Let me not tell you off. See, that's why you need to search the book. He's talking about you. Go and find yourself. Go and find your reality. Search the book. That's why you need to stay with God in prayer. There are whispers. He said, once the Lord spoke, twice I heard. There are echoes from eternity. Catch them. The psalmist caught something and he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Imagine the description. Valley. Shadow of death. He said, I fear no evil. What did he hear? The guy fought 66 battles, won all. There's something he heard. He said, you prepare a table before me. Not in my loved one's house. In the presence of my enemies. He said, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Psalm 23 verse 4 and 5. So you don't succeed because everyone around like you. Even in the midst of your enemies, you can have overflow. Oh, you mean here? Opano Gengoma. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, you mean here? Opano Gengoma. That's who you are. Oh, in the Papa, no, give me. That's who you are. That's who you are. One of our leaders got me yesterday. He said, this program coming, we need to start preparing. I say, relax, it's a small meeting. The reason we put it up early is for those who will need visa to travel from different countries. A small meeting. I'm already seeing stadiums. Which one is hey, let's prepare. It's 2 months. How can I be preparing 2 months? It's a small meeting. The one who spoke to me said, I will address nations. It's a small meeting. No, it takes time. It takes process. That's why we are following the ladder. But we know where we are going. How can a small meeting like that? We're all over the place 2 months to the time. I said, no, it's a small meeting. 3 weeks to the meeting, we can make small noise and do what we have to do. It's a small meeting. Relax. We are soon going to the main stadium. What is that? You want to kill you. I prophesy over you. Your light has come. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. In the name of Jesus. Some years ago, those who loved me wanted to kill me. Please, get, even if it's one land, get a house, build something. Please. I say, Oga, who is talking house? I am a city. Why are you killing yourself for house? For land, you want to die. This person you are seeing here, many houses, people will dash, they will dash, and they will be honored to do so. Why are you killing us? I'm not contending for house. I'm a city. He said, you are a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. Why are you killing? Now, guess what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong in planning. There's nothing wrong in programming your life. But don't kill yourself with anxiety. Today, I've built houses for people. People touch me land. I've not had time to go and see it. What is the idea? Prime location. Too busy about the work of the master. Please, one plot of land. Please, nobody knows tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. But the one who owns tomorrow keeps me. Your light has come. I say your light has come. In the name of Jesus Christ.
sit down for a moment.
The first way to climb into reality is by apprehending the truth of the word. When he hits you, your life will change. I'm telling you. He told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, "This book of the Lord should not depart out of your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. See that you do what is written therein." He said, "Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success." Nobody, you are not failing. Don't let the devil convince who you are. Don't let your mind convince who you are. You can't fail. He said, "Whatever you do, prosper." You are prospering. It's just taking the time protocol. Glory to God. Number two, how do you climb into reality? This is my focus for tonight. Is by accepting and engaging the legalities of the spirit realm. If you want to enter and function from reality, you must accept and engage the legalities of the spirit realm. And we summarize these legalities within the context of the New Testament as the finished works of Christ. When Jesus came, he came to substitute you for himself. Meaning, whatever your experience prior to receiving him is, it has been substituted. Your job now is to know what you were substituted for, accept it, and engage it. And it will catapult you into those realities. And I have itemized 11 of them here quickly. Number one is righteousness. Talking the legalities of the realm. He took your sin, your place in sin, and the effects of sin, and he gave you his place in righteousness and the effects of righteousness. You must accept it. You can never live right if you don't accept that he took your place in sin and gave you his righteousness. And you will never see the effects of righteousness except as you accept that he gave you that place. These are the legalities of the realm. The problem with us is that we neglect the legalities of the realm and we want to apprehend the vitality. And then our lives become a struggle. So you have to accept the legalities. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said, he made him, that's the Father, to the Son. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be or be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made him. So he took my place in sin and gave me his place in righteousness. And he didn't just take my place in sin, he also took the effect that that position put on me. That's why Isaiah 53, if you read verse 4 and 5, he showed you all the effects that he took away. Not just the sin. Surely he has borne our griefs. Grief comes with sin. He has carried our sorrows. Sorrows come with sin. If we have seen him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, we were assuming God was punishing a sinner. But he's saying no, himself didn't know sin. It was your place he took. So he took my grief. He took my sorrows. And he didn't stop there. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes I am healed. So everything sin brought, he took it. That's why today I refuse grief taking over me. Sorrow can't overtake me. Sickness can't dominate me. Because he took it. He took it. And then, he also gave me the things that righteousness commands. One of it is a life of glory and dominion. That's why Romans 5:17 said that he gave us the gift of righteousness so that we reign in life. The word reign is the word basileus. It means to king through life. So he didn't just take sin. He gave me righteousness and the effect. This is the legality of the realm. So if you find yourself in any situation that any of the things, either sin itself or the effect of sin, want to dominate you, refuse. That's why Paul said, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Now, some of you may have fallen. If you fall, rise up. Don't stay there. The Bible said the righteous falleth 7 times. It says 7 times he rises again. Because he knows that sin can no longer have dominion over him. So sin may come. Some may fall. But even if you fall, rise. Don't yield to sin. Don't lie down there helplessly. And say, there's nothing I can do about it. There's something you can do. Sin can no longer have dominion. Rise up. That's what he did for you. So that in the realm of sin, you have dominion. Number two, I want to be very quick because of our time. He became a curse so that you will become a blessing. So I am not just blessed. I am a blessing. I am a blessing. Look at what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 to 23. Please write these scriptures down. What I'm teaching you here tonight is not so much of inspiration. They are doctrinal facts. But your meditating upon them and apprehending them is what releases the power. So write these scriptures down. Take time to meditate on them. He said, if a man have committed sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, he said, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that hangeth on a tree is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord God giveth thee for an inheritance. So whoever is hanging on a tree on account of sin, the Bible said is what? He's a curse. So when Jesus hung on the tree with your sin, he was made a curse. And the reason he was made a curse is so that you will become a blessing. So you must understand that the legality in the realm is that no curse can survive on your life. You wasted your time when you cursed me. It cannot work. There's no legal ground for it in the spirit. If you like, curse me for 1 year. Go and be breaking bottle on your altar and say, the way this bottle break, that's why his life will scatter. You are wasting your time. Better go and start doing something that will help your life. Because no curse survive on this man. There's no legal ground for it. Are you following? You don't know what people do. There are people who will go to their backyard and be slaughtering a ram. This is how he will be cut off from the earth. If you like, slaughter 100 rams. You will bring them, we will eat them. Nothing will happen. Hey, that native doctor cost me. What is the cost of the native doctor compared to the blessings of God? He just wasted words. I cannot be caught. See, Israel that was walking in a type and in a shadow, they brought a man that had a pedigree in this field. The Bible said, whoever Balaam blesses is blessed, whoever he curses is cursed. And Balaam tried to curse Israel several times. Himself said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. Israel was not praying. They were not even aware Balaam was cursing them. You say, I had a vision. Somebody was cursing me. I was dreaming. They gathered together. They were calling my name. They were nailing me to a tree. Not me. I am in Christ. Where did you find me from? My life is hid in Christ, Christ in God. For you to find me, to take me to a shrine, you have to conquer God, conquer Christ. Pull me out of Christ before you take me to the forest. You can't get me there. Most of the prayers you are praying, you are informing the devil that you are vulnerable. That's why some of us don't pray those prayers anymore. Carry my name to a shrine. When they tell me, I tell you, whatever you see, carry it. That's my prayer. Whatever you see, what? Carry it. If thunder appear, bear it. If lightning appear, bear it. Whatever you see, carry it. Then I'll go and kneel down. Father, all these people that gang up in the shrine, please protect me with your blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead which blood? There's no blood to waste like that. Is it the drops of blood that fell from Calvary that they will be wasting on all this your prayer? There's no blood to waste like that. You can't get me. You can't curse me. There's no legal ground for it to happen. That's why I told you, your prayer is as powerful as your revelation. That you are praying and sweating does not mean you are doing so much. You may just be exposing yourself to Satan of what you don't know. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. Blessed. Too blessed to be cursed. Too blessed. Too blessed. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So when he hung on the tree, he hung with your curse. When he hung on the tree, he hung to be a curse. So that you are not only blessed, but you become the blessing. It said that the blessings of Abraham. Now he's using Abraham here figuratively, because Abraham was the one God encountered and gave the promise of salvation. The blessing is actually the blessings of salvation and the person of the Holy Spirit. That the blessings of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what is blessing? Blessing means empowered to prosper. So I am not just blessed by somebody saying good words about me. No, I am blessed means I am empowered to prosper. Empowered. So the only thing I resonate with is blessing. Because I am blessed, I receive more blessings. And because I am blessed, I reject curses. I was breaking down for them the six components of blessings in the last Bethel prayer on Thursday. From number 6, if you read 23 to 25, it said, the Lord bless thee. It means the Lord empower you to prosper. It said, and keep thee. It means the Lord protect and preserve you. Watch over you. Cause his face to shine upon you. The face of God is panim, the presence of God. It means God live with you tangibly, manifestly. It said, and be gracious unto thee. Meaning, favor is on your life. The same kind of favor that Esther had. And a king said, whatever you want, I will give you. When she had not asked. Even if it's half of my kingdom. So when you are blessed, you are empowered to prosper. The eyes of God watch over you to protect you. The presence of God goes with you anywhere you are. That's why the psalmist said, even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. He knew he was blessed. And he said, God is gracious to you. Meaning, you are favored. I break protocols. I break protocols. It may take others 10 years. I show up in 3 months, it's done. I break protocols. They may reject 100 people until I come. I break protocols. 1,000 may fall by the right, 10,000 by the left. I stand when 11,000 fall. I break protocols. It's called the power of favor. I work very hard. I work very smart. But I have too many things I can't account for. because of favor. He breaks protocols. That's who you are. That's what Jesus came to legitimize for you. He said the Lord caused his countenance to be lifted over you. Meaning, you live in an atmosphere beyond the environment. It's just like flying in an aircraft. Where you are, 40,000 feet above sea level, is toxic. There's helium there. The temperature is freezing. You die there if you are there in 5 minutes. But you can be sleeping there because you are within the environment in another environment. That's what it means. The countenance of God. That means the atmosphere of heaven is over your life. So I can succeed in Nigeria. I can succeed in America. I can succeed in Ghana. I can succeed in Zambia. Because anywhere I come to, I carry an atmosphere within the atmosphere. And they say, the Lord give you peace. And the word peace there does not mean absence of trouble. It means you are made whole. So of course there's absence of trouble, but you are complete and perfect. I'm complete. I'm made whole. That's what Jesus came to do. You know, some of you, you can come for a service like this. Bless and make up the declaration. Your intestine is about coming out. The moment service finishes, people sit down. What is the issue? They said from the village that we die. The way we believe native doctors, the way we believe in causes, if we believe in God and the blessing, 10% of that, our lives would have changed. Powerful service. From prayer to worship to word to prophetic decree. The person shows up, nothing is working in my life. They are telling you the patterns of their family. My father died. My mother died. My sister died. I'm afraid of dying. So all these things you were hearing, you know what happened? During the service, when you are talking, they open a bag and put everything inside. After service, they tie it and throw away. Because they believe the power of darkness so much that light means nothing to them. In fact, when you are talking, they encourage you by nodding. When you finish talking, they present the same problem. But your case will not be so. You are blessed. You are empowered to prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number 3. I'm showing you, this is what launches you into reality. You know, some people think feeling emotional is equivalent to reality. After 20 years of fooling yourself, they will come back and examine the scripture. What I'm talking here is beyond emotion. As I'm teaching now, some people will be doing like this. Some will be doing like this. So, it can be by the Spirit. So don't look around. Some are doing it because the Holy Ghost is stirring them. But guess what? Others, that's their default mode. Where they came from. Anytime you are preaching the word, they are doing like this. That's how they do. Or when you are preaching, they are doing like this. Oh, glory, glory. Nothing is entering. It's emotion. Stop those dramas. Pay attention and receive. I'm not telling you church acting and dogma here. Catch the truth and trade with it. There are people that the moment you start praying, they won't let you rest. They are just wasting their time. The moment you start praying, they hold something. Drama. See them after 10 years, they are the same way. After 20 years, then they become angry with every church. They start telling you Christianity is calm. Do you know how many years we prayed? You didn't pray. You were doing religion. I'm not teaching you emotion. These are truths. Sit on them. Chew on them. See, some of you, it may take you 3 weeks just reading scriptures that say you are blessed until it enters your consciousness. And the proof that it has entered is not in church. You will enter your office Everybody is panicking. Today, Oka is coming. What do? You are at peace. Everything is well. I'm blessed. Everything is well. You are doing business. Every other person is panicking. This business is failing. You say, not mine. I'm a blessed man. Everything I do, it prospers. My business does not fail. Oh, people are saying, ministry is hard. Or ministry is difficult. Not mine. What God has committed to my trust is flourishing. You don't pray all kinds of prayer. You just know you are blessed. Can you imagine? I've been in ministry for 10 years. I've never traveled to any nation. Whether nation or no nation, I'm blessed. I don't need to travel to any nation to feel blessed. Is it not people you will preach to there? Is it not demons you will cast out there? Is it not Jesus you will preach there? Is it not Jesus that will be glorified? I don't need to travel to feel blessed. Some years ago, a man called me and said, there's an open door in London. You have to take it. You have to take it. This is promotion for your ministry. I say, how? How does going to preach in London become a promotion for my ministry? How? Is it not human beings I'm preaching to in London? If God sends me there, it's an honor. But if I'm not being sent there, how is it a promotion? Coming under anxiety just to prove to people that things are working. You are blessed. Carry your presence everywhere.
Who am I? Your mind is so full. I'm just a mortal. You are the awesome. I'm just a mortal. You are the awesome. I'm just a mortal. You are the awesome. Mortal man. Mortal God. 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 He's the man of God.
I am blessed. It means I am empowered to prosper. See, know it. See, there's a level you will know this thing to. Somebody will call you and say, my business is not doing well. Tell him, I will come there tomorrow. I'm coming, just I'll come tomorrow. You will just come, enter the shop and say, now business begin to work and go. The person will look at you. Who do you think you are? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I know. I've come into the business. Now it will work. Somebody will look at you and say, my ministry is not working. Things are not working. Tell him. Open your hand. In the name of Jesus, speak over the ministry. Now begin to work. He will be shocked. It's not just about stature. It's about consciousness. I am blessed. Why do you think we stand here? We talk to bankers, lecturers, businessmen. We talk to ministers and all things are working. We know we are blessed. We carry the blessing. When we talk, things happen. That's the meaning. When God says you are blessed, He's telling you, I have empowered you to prosper. Whatever you do, whatever you associate with, is commanded to prosper. I know I'm blessed. Somebody wanted to start business. They called me. I said, I'm coming. I went and walked inside and lifted my hand. Let it flourish. I walked away. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I know. People want to build. Sometimes we come. We walk on the land. We just walk on it. We have brought the blessing. We have brought. I'm blessed. I know. And it's not because I'm an apostle. It's because Jesus took my cost. so that they will give me and make me the blessing. I'm blessed. The Holy Ghost is in me. I'm one with Him. I don't just have the blessing. I have become the blessing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I can't tell you how many people connected to us who are flourishing because we know we are blessed. I was reading the testimony at the Better Prayer yesterday. I almost wept. A lady said, after 2 years, the husband stood up and said, this child is not mine. Take this, your bastard, back to the father. And she joined the prayer. In 3 months, the husband calls back. This was 10 years later. The girl was 12 years old. After 10 years. And was apologizing and begging. Because she said, I declare, you have a child. The father walked away, but he's coming back. She said, my daughter spoke to the father for the first time after 10 years. You are blessed. That's why, you know, you don't know. That's why you can't say something. But when you know, you start daring things. People say their businesses are failing. Tell them, I will become a part of that business. Let me pray over it. Let me speak over it. Give me 3 months. You are blessed. You are blessed. Sit down. Number three. Let's cover some ground. Jesus became poor so that you will be made rich. And this is in the literal sense of it. Because if you study the whole of that chapter, it was not talking about spiritual blessings. It was talking about material things. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, the whole chapter are talking about material things. So the context is on material things. Glory to God. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he's the owner of the heavens and the earth. He created all things. So it's not just talking righteousness, holiness. Yes, they are part of it. But beyond it, he's also talking about material things. He said, rich as he was, became poor. How can the one who created the whole world be born in a manger? How can he hang on the cross naked? He said, there is a purpose. He became poor that you might be made rich. Glory to God. So there is a spiritual blessing or spiritual riches that speaks of acceptance in God, the adoption to sonship, that speaks of righteousness, the graces of God, the gifts of the Spirit, but there is also the material blessing. Praise God. He said he became poor that you might become rich. He became poor that you might become rich. So if you study Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God supplies all your needs according to his riches. Now, if all your needs are spiritual, good for you, may I have physical needs? Because that same scripture was also talking about physical things. Verse 15, it said, concerning giving and receiving, no church gave to me but you only. It said in verse 18, your offering have become for you an offering of a sweet smell. It was the material things they gave. On the strength of that, he said, my God shall supply all your needs. So at the cross, at the substitution, Jesus became poor that you might become rich. Praise God. And he's talking material things. Glory, glory to Jesus. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessings of God make it rich. The word rich there is the same word Abraham used in Genesis 14 when he said, I will not take a latchet from you lest you say you made Abraham rich. So it's a material reality he's talking about. When Jesus substituted for poverty, he gave you the power to get wealth. He may not give you US dollars. He may not give you pound sterling. He may not give you naira. He may not give you Australian dollar or Canadian dollar. But he will give you the power to get it. It can be inspiration. It can be favor. It can be grace for productivity. At the end of the day, all of them will command the byproduct of resources. So you have to tell yourself, I may not have now, but this is not my end. There is something in me. There's a value in me that will provide wealth. Because when Jesus substituted me, he put that value there. It may take a little longer, but it will manifest. it will manifest. Some of you don't know how much favor is on your life. Look at the guy. He just came up now and testified to giving birth to a child. And I dashed him 300,000. Which work did he do? Now, this is the same guy that announced his wedding 2 years ago. And we gave him over 6 million. People were calling me weeks after. Weeks. A woman called me, my son in the U.S., say he will give 1 million. This one called, I will give 1 million. Do you know how many people announce weddings here? Do you know how many people announce or dedicate children here? But the guy has favor. That's the same thing God puts on you. 20 people submit contracts, they pick yours, they don't know why. It's favor. Those are the powers that brings wealth. And it's on your life. There are people that even while they are sleeping, they are seeing things, business ideas, inventions, and they wake up to go and do it. So while you sleep to rest, they sleep to discover. It's a gateway. That's what God did for you. It's called power to get wealth. Thou shalt remember the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is Him that giveth thee power to get wealth. Wherever you are stationed, there is a grace on your life to get wealth. And if you don't acknowledge it, you will live your life with the consciousness of lack. There are people who have done their first degree, they are doing masters now, and they have said they will do PhD. Not because they want knowledge. They think by getting more certificates, they will have a greater chance of getting a job. So all their lives is the mentality of lack that regulates them. I'm going to the U.S. I'm going to Canada. Not because he is led or because he wants to add anything, value to humanity. I may get a better job. So it's a slavery mentality that is driving us. The same people who came here to enslave you, they have gone. You are pursuing them. Now, God can lead you there, which is perfect. But don't have this slavery mentality. You are blessed. And He has empowered you to prosper. Believe it. As you believe it, the power will start finding expression. He said that the communication of your faith, Philippians 1:6, should become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Blessings are there. Wealth is there. Righteousness is there. Number 4. He took sickness so that you will have health. He took sickness. One of the ways Satan has bastardized humanity is through sickness. You will be shocked that 8 or 9 out of every 10 persons are sick. And some with terminal diseases. If you know how many people live on drugs, you will be shocked. Thank God for doctors. Because we have not grown our faith. If doctors leave this world today, you'll be shocked that in a matter of months, 40% of the world may die. But our consciousness has not yet risen to our victory over sickness. The Bible is not a book of fairy tales. It said in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, He bore our griefs, He carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised by our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, by His stripes we were healed. Do you know many people are expecting sickness? Are you aware? There are people living with expectation of sickness. Because of how brainwashed we are. By the time I am 55, my eyes must have problems. When I am 60, I must have to deal with prostate enlargement. They just believe it. But the Bible said Moses was 120. His eyes were not dim. I'm not saying it cannot happen. When it happens, fight it. Don't succumb to it as though that's the natural order of things. For you, the supernatural is your natural. You accept sickness and you are fighting it. There are some who even think it's the will of God. If it's the will of God, why are you fighting the will of God so hard? He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes you were healed. Don't accept it. I'm showing you legality. If you will live in the realm of the reality that says health and health only, you must accept this truth. And to make it a personal experience, the Bible said he gave you the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:11, he said that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. He vitalizes your mortal body. So you don't just have a legal ground. There is a spirit in you monitoring your health. Why won't you sustain the consciousness that empowers that spirit? The devil can attack you with sickness. Fight back. Don't succumb. So I'm not saying, oh, if you have sickness here, you are not a believer. That's not what I'm saying. There are many people who are fighting. What I'm saying is that keep fighting. Don't surrender. Because the legality is that health is yours. That's what he gave you, not sickness. And so you reject it until he leaves you. Number 5. He took death so that you will have eternal life. John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life. Now when we speak about life, it's beyond breath. Life is a system in the realm of God that make you one with God and make you connected to the resources of that realm. So when we say somebody is alive, what we mean is that he has been awoken to God. So now he's vitally connected to God. The essence of God flows into him and the resources of God's realm flow into him. So life is not breath. Life is awakening to God. You are connected to God vitally, so much so that his essence overflows you and his resources come into your realm. That's what life is. That's why death is not cessation of existence. There are 3 definitions of death in the Bible. Number 1, when we speak about death, we are speaking about denaturation of essence. When we say a man dies, it means the essence of God in him has been corrupt. So death is corruption of essence. Death is denaturation of essence. That's why we are called mortals. Mortality means corruption. Immortality means without corruption. So when a man dies, his essence is denatured. That's why even in the physical, when somebody dies, the body decomposes. The person remains in existence. He just changes dimensions. Death is not cessation. It's denaturation. But when Jesus came, he gave a protocol that make us to come into immortality. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. The Bible said he has made life and immortality to come into light through the gospel. So when we receive Christ, we were made immortals. That's why the Holy Ghost became joint with you. You became one with the Holy Spirit. So when your time here is accomplished, you don't go into corruption. You translate to God. It's the absence from the body is presence with the Lord. The second definition of death is separation from God. When we say a man is dead, it means he's no longer vitally connected to God. That's why when God told them in Eden, if you eat this fruit, you will die. They were chased out of the garden. Is separation from God. That's why at the end of time, in Revelation chapter 20, from verse 11 to 15, the Bible said the second death are those who will be sent to the lake of fire. So you don't have your end with God. So death is separation. But in Christ, something happened. We were united to God. We were united. So we were made immortal. We were made united to God. Romans 5 verse 1, it said, we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, he said we have peace with God. So we are connected. Me and God are one. Him that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I am one with God now. That's what it means to be alive. I am immortal. I am united to God. And then the third definition of death is judgment. When we say a man is dead, it means he has entered condemnation. But when you come alive, you are free from condemnation. So John 5:24, the Bible said, they that believe on me, he said, they shall not come into condemnation. He said, they have passed from death to life. So a man is dead if he's denatured, if he's separated from God, and if he has come under condemnation. And a man is alive if he has been made immortal, if he has been united to God, and if he has been exonerated from condemnation. God, Jesus, has given us life. We are connected to God. The things that flow in God's realm flow through us. You know the problem with believers many times? They don't know these things. So you are touching people. You don't know that something is flowing from you to them. You are not aware. Because you don't know the meaning of being alive. Being alive means you have become like a conductor. You connect God to people. You connect God to things. That's why we touch people here. He said, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. What do you think is going on? It's not a religious practice. Now you are alive. When you touch the sick, healing flows through you. Life flows through you. You are alive. That's why we lay hands on people to bless them. We are imparting them deposits of divinity and the possibilities of the realm of God. It's not because we are pastors. It's the heritage of every believer. You are alive. You are alive. God is with you. Sometimes those in the dark are more courageous than those in light. Those days when we were young, as young teenagers, one of the charms, there are two major charms that were reigning there. One is to get gears. So they call it touch and follow. So young men who didn't have courage to confront beautiful ladies, they will go and get those charms. So you'll see them wanting to shake people. So ladies had a warning on their head. Don't shake any young man, oh, because they knew touch and follow was raining. So when these young men get this charm, you see them become audacious. They will cut their hair, rub white powder, those days, and they will walk up to any lady. Hey, how you doing? They are not confident in themselves. They are confident in the charm. When they shake the lady, they'll just start talking foolishly. I like you, follow me. Because now they know there's something on them. The second charm is for fighting. So you hear one blow, seven die. So young men will carry rings in their hands. They will go and do the charm. They will give them rings. If they slap you, you will faint. There are some that they say, if they slap you, they will have to cross you before you are able to stand up. And so you see young men with different kinds of rings. When you start to talk to them, they will put their hands in their pocket and put the ring. And you see a small boy, you confront somebody who is bigger. Is it me you are talking to? I will deal with you here today. And you'll be shouting, why? He has a ring. Some of them is fake. They fought and they were beaten. But the audacity was compelling. Now look at the believer who has the life of God, who has the blessings of God, who has the righteousness of God. He goes out, they intimidate him, they intimidate her, and is running back to beg God. Please, look at this, look at that. Come on, wake up. Some of you should be challenging native doctors. Yet your neighbor is telling you, do you know where I come from? I come from so and so village. If you try me, you are finished. And you can't sleep again. I'm alive. I'm connected to God. When you touch me, you touch God. When you hear me, you hear God. When I enter your space, I bring God there. I know I'm alive. Luke 16:10 says, if they hear you, they hear me. I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive to God. I know when I touch people, they are blessed. I know. I know. See, that's why sometimes when we are stirred, we just lay hands on people. We know we are transferring something into them. See, not everybody reacts, but we are not moved by those who react. There are times when I lay hands on people, the anointing throws them from one side to another. There are other people I lay hands on, they just say thank you and go away. All of them receive something. Their responses are different. I am not moved from their by their responses, but I know I transferred something because I'm alive. Have you seen somebody connected to live wire before? Live electricity touching. You will be so shocked as though you are also touching the electricity. So when you see all these guys who work with electricity, when somebody is being electrocuted, they don't touch him. They use stick to hit him. Because he has become a conductor. If you touch him, you are not touching a man. You are touching current. He has become like live wire. I am alive to God. I am connected to God. When you touch me, it's like you are touching the Almighty. I am no longer just a man. God has encased me. When you touch me, I am live wire. You know, some of you don't know the meaning of this thing. When we say you have the life of God, you are saying it, but you don't know what it means. It means you have been awoken to God's realm. God's essence is on you. God's reality is flowing through you. That's what it means to be alive. It's a system in the spirit that harmonizes beings into one frequency. I'm in God's frequency. The same way an electrocuted person, when touch is like touching a live wire. That's why if you touch me, it's like touching God. If you meet me, it's like meeting God. I know because the Bible says so. I am alive. If I enter a building, I just feel like God has entered the building. I just feel like it. It has dominated my consciousness. See, sometimes people are sitting in a meeting and we're just walking. And as we walk in, the atmosphere shifts. We know what we carry. This is not bragging. It's your right as a believer. But the question is, are you conscious of it? I know. I'm alive. I'm alive. Too alive to be victimized. You know, there is a reality for you to live from. But you don't know the pillars that sustain those realities. These are some of the pillars that sustain this reality. If you understand one of these things I'm teaching today, you will become a wonder to your world. Imagine that you left this meeting and you just became aware and conscious that you are blessed. See the way they do this thing in the demonic realm. They know this power so much that sometimes they use it to humiliate what men value. So somebody goes to a native doctor, they say, bring three virgins, bring whatever. After they do the ritual, of all the businesses in the world, they tell him, go and sell pure water. And the person goes, sells pure water, and becomes a millionaire. And you call it blood money. But you are blessed. It means you are empowered to prosper. Yet, you don't feel as though things can work in your life. So your consciousness, your belief system is what make of non-effect what you carry. Because what you carry is many, many times higher than whatever they took from a shrine. But you don't know. Do you even know the unfortunate thing? In certain parts of this country today, people are going back to idolatry. Going back to bring the deities of their father's house and say this thing is more effective than Christianity. Now, Christianity is not about you prospering materially. It's about you coming alive in God, having a relationship with God. But you see, that relationship has byproducts. You are blessed. You are blessed. Any business you feel led to start, just start laughing. You have become the standard in this field. very soon they will see it. Because there is something on your life. You are blessed. And then know that you are alive. Anything you touch is as good as God touching it. When you talk, it's as good as men hearing God. That's how powerful your words are. See, people hear us talk like this, and tumors leave their body. They wake up, they start walking with legs that were not walking. Things change, seasons change. And the more you know it, the more powerful it becomes. Imagine if 500 Christians in Africa understood this truth. We think Jesus hanging on the cross is another Christian ritual. The Almighty became a man, hung on the cross because of you. Is this the result of that transaction? This you. You think this is the reason why Jesus came down from heaven, became a man, hung naked on the cross, so that you will be begging for food, so that you will be rising and falling from sin, so that you will be waiting for one uncle to give you a job before your life has meaning. That's why Jesus came down from heaven to hang on the cross. May God help you to realize where you have been positioned. You are supposed to be a wonder to your generation. And trust me, somebody's life has changed. I said somebody's life has changed. Gloria, emi o, ongbe mi fo, ongbe mi taro. Owo Oluwa nbe, Gloria, ongbe mi fo. Make up your mind. Anything God has not called me, I will never call myself again. It doesn't matter who said so. It doesn't matter the circumstances. I will never call myself anything God does not call me again. Some of you have labeled yourself failures. You have labeled yourself pitiable people, living at the mercy of others. Some of you have labeled yourselves victims. But when you search the book says otherwise. There are 11 things I would have shown you. I will reserve the 6 for Tuesday. But hear this. As you walk out of this place, walk out with the consciousness that you are alive to God. Walk out with the consciousness that you are blessed. Walk out with the consciousness that you are righteous. Walk out of this meeting tonight with the consciousness that you are rich. And walk out with the consciousness that you are healed. Go and chew on this for 1 week. Get any scripture on the subject and chew on it for 1 week. See how that pain will disappear. That tumor will disappear. Chew on it for 1 week. See how business ideas will come streaming through your mind to produce resources. Chew on it for 1 week. See how the things that are wrong in your life, that yourself have given up on, will start changing for your good. chew on it. See how besetting sins will disappear as if they don't exist. You are righteous. You are blessed. You are rich. You are healed. And you are alive to God. Deep among many are the reasons why we thank Him. These are the reasons. Can you rise up for a second? I don't know which one you understood. Some of you understood the blessing. Some of you understood righteousness. Some of you understood life. But whichever you understood, speak it and pray with it for 1 minute. Prophesy it over yourself. Prophesy it. Prophesy it. Prophesy it. I am blessed in the name of Jesus. Because I am blessed, everything I do prospers. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I cannot pay failure has left my ecosystem. I am blessed. You will start laughing because it will start working. That relationship that was failing, after this service, you will start laughing because it will start working. I'm telling you, that career that was becoming laughable, after this service, you are the one who will laugh because it will pick up. That ministry that was becoming like a reproach, after this service, it will start working because you are blessed, because you are alive, because you are rich, because you are righteous. You will reign in life. Lift your voice and declare for 1 minute. It will be very hard for me to fail. I am blessed. See, even if I want to fail now, it will take help. many forces have to help me to fail. Because I've come to a level that whatsoever I do prospers. It will be hard. How many of you can see now that you are alive? When you touch me, you touch God. I'm clothed with divinity. I'm clothed. No wonder demons fear me. No wonder. So when they saw me, they saw Jesus. That's who you are. Can you touch somebody who is being electrocuted and you are free from the flow of current? That will become an electrical wonder. You touch it, you touch current. You won't even feel the person. It's the current you interact with. That's what it means. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I touch my business, God touches it. I speak to my business, God speaks to it. I come into my family, God enters my family. I'm alive. I'm alive. The Bible says, let the people praise him. And he said, and the earth. It's so powerful that when you start praising him, even your environment is re-engineered. And the earth will yield her increase. Let the people praise him. Come on! Mentality has to be corrected so that the lion in you will wake up. Because when the devil sees you in your regalia, he knows. And from today, may your garment come upon you. May the Lord cause the brilliance of righteousness to shine through you. May your armor be sharpened for war. May your fingers become skillful in battle. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every gang up against your destiny shatters. When they see you, they tremble at your sight. Their manipulation is frustrated. In the name of the Lord Jesus, doors open for you in strange quarters. May your name be remembered in high corridors. May your horn be exalted. May your seasons open. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord will give you inheritances in strange lands. Those who don't know you will serve you. The loins of kings are open for your blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have given up, the Lord will surprise you in this week. Because your captivity has been torn. Step into the realm of blessings. Step into the dimensions of empowerment. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody. For you, the week of surprises, pleasant surprises, in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you will receive help from strange quarters. Some of you will receive supernatural encounters. Some of you will receive approvals for pending projects, pending contracts. Some of you, doors will open for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands in reverence and just thank Him. He loves you so much. He's not just intervening in your life. He created a framework of legality so that for you it's not just a privilege, it's a right that when you don't see, you can litigate and enforce. When God intervenes, it's beautiful. But when He creates legal frameworks, it means even when He has not intervened, you now have the right to contend. So I have the right to insist that I'm blessed. I don't need to wait for an angel to come into my room for me to be blessed. There's a legal framework now with which I can litigate and say, here, I must be blessed. What are we talking about here? Your life will never be the same again. Rise up to a new height. Rise up to a new dimension. In the name of Jesus Christ. When the glory comes, there'll be no one to see. When the glory comes, there'll be no one to save. Oh, when the glory, no one to save. Your two hands toward heaven. You know, I saw something like a glory cloud hovering over some people. Believe me, your season to be remembered has come. Just lift your hands The Lord will brood over some of you now. And three of them will literally be brought into a heightened energy level, atmosphere in the spirit. Father, wherever those ones are, this is the time of your remembrance, your labors, your consecration, your intercession. For the reason of divine mercy, now enter that atmosphere, enter that window, enter, enter, enter. Take. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Places where they ganged up against you, you will enter and they will bow their faces. God has brought you an exalted horn. It's your season to be remembered. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Lord, the Spirit. And so now the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. In Jesus' mighty name. This is an announcement for someone. Before this year is over, you are getting settled in your husband's house. You are getting settled with your wife. I just heard marital settlement. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Flowing like a river, I know. Precious Holy Spirit, I know you are here. You are here to bring me up. I know you are here. Precious. Glory to God. Now, next week is miracle service. It's going to be on another level. We are dealing with things that will make the supernatural become common. So in this season, expect greater dimensions of supernatural manifestation. So let your heart be ready for it. I told you, miracle service is not a healing service. Is greater than a healing service, because the miraculous will happen in the area of healing and beyond. It will affect relationships, it will affect businesses and careers. It is a holistic supernatural manifestation. And so prepare yourself and invite loved ones. It's going to be an avalanche in the name of Jesus Christ. By this week, we are going to announce the help desk, international help desk, because there are many persons who are already asking questions about visas and all of that, so that our team can help facilitate immigration processes and visa processes to help people who are coming for the conference. So we announce it on time so that you are done with that and you can book your flight early. So it's going to be announced, and then we may also have to incorporate it into our app, because the app is back up and is fully functional. Give the Lord a big hand. You are looking for legitimate information about us. Download Encounter Jesus app. You can use it both on Android and Apple devices. Download it. Everything you get there is authentic and is from us. Hallelujah. At least they have not been able to clone that one. Neither have they been able to sabotage it. So get it. We have other handles, Facebook, that are, of course, verified. But the most verified platform to reach us and to get things from us is on our own app. We control the data. We have the back end. Everything there is facilitated by our team. So if you don't have Encounter Jesus app yet, go get it. All our sermons are there. And then we have different training platforms that you can just enroll and be empowered. It's our community on the virtual space. So make sure you download it and begin to engage it from today because the app is all fully functional. Hallelujah.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.